This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna saying, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. It's 6 p.m. Standard Wartime, Wednesday, November 8th, 1944. Lou Martin is standing by with the election results and the world news. Ruth Millett will be in with advice for the lovelorn. And we've got the best doggone swing music anywhere, folks. Now, Lou Martin with the Standard Oil 6 o'clock news. Car troubles loom in the fourth winter of war. See your Standard Oil dealer for a tune-up today. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. President Roosevelt has been elected to an unprecedented fourth term. We begin our world news report with Lyle C. Wilson in New York.
The final tally is not in yet, but President Roosevelt has won, with more than 101,000 of 130,000 precincts reporting nationwide. FDR has almost 21 million votes, compared to Governor Dewey's 18 million. This victory vote stamped approval on the president's handling of the war and repudiated Dewey's battle cry of "It's time for a change." The United Press tabulations show that this election will have a record vote. More than 51 million votes were cast, up from the 1940 record of 49.5 million votes. It appears the only change will be for a more solid Democratic majority in both houses of Congress. Bitter foes of the president, like North Dakota Republican Senator Gerald Nye, went down in defeat. Even so, Governor Dewey made the best showing against the president in his four presidential runs, winning all the states that Wendell Willkie won in 1940, plus taking Ohio, Oregon, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. The incomplete electoral count is 407 for President Roosevelt and 124 for Governor Dewey. The New York governor, who fought strenuously in the first wartime presidential election since the Civil War, said, quoting now, "I am confident that all Americans will join me in the hope that divine providence will guide and protect the President of the United States," end quote. In New York, this is Lyle C. Wilson calling Jack Bell in Washington.
This is the nation's capital. Jack Bell, your correspondent. Never before have foreign nations displayed so much interest in an American presidential election. London newspapers had banner headlines about FDR's win, while Berlin newspapers sourly reported that Governor Dewey's close showing indicates the president's foreign policies are worrying wide circles of Americans. This is a sign that another Big Three summit between Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt will take place soon. Along with the presidential victory, Democrats made sharp inroads to the Republican House membership. In fact, the grand old party had hoped to seize control of the House, but that didn't happen. With Mr. Roosevelt, Senator Harry S. Truman was elected vice president, who just 10 years ago was an obscure county judge in Missouri. Mr. Truman thanked Governor Dewey for his pledge of support and said it is now our duty to win the war and then win the peace. Both Mr. Roosevelt and Mr. Dewey campaigned on the promise that they would work with other nations to make sure that this would be the last war. In Washington, this is Jack Bell reporting, calling Frederick Osman in New York.
This is the Big Apple, New York, New York. Frederick C. Osman, your faithful correspondent. A soft chair on the 12th floor of a New York skyscraper was the most exciting place in America today, as United Press experts counted a record 50 million votes on their little adding machines. I was breathing down their necks when they discovered, before anyone else on the planet, that FDR had been elected to a fourth term. You know what they did next? They kept counting votes. Lyle Wilson flipped another sheet of yellow paper into his typewriter and pounded it out, another election lead. He had a pencil in his mouth. I thought he was going to bite it in two. As the news machines flicked the news to the four corners of the globe, boom! News manager Earl Johnson strode down the batteries of automatic printer telegraphs, snapping his fancy blue suspenders to the 60-word-a-minute symphony of the machinery. I mean, this is genuine excitement. But if a Hollywood movie director would have been in charge, he'd have fired the whole bunch of us. Nobody yelled, nobody cursed, but I know these guys. They were excited. Johnson's suspender snapping was one clue. Akers' foot tapping was another. So was Sandy Klein's unlit cigar. He couldn't find the time to light it. I've mentioned just a few, but 150 people were knocking themselves out. And I don't think I've ever had such a good time in my soft chair. In New York, this is Frederick C. Othman speaking.
This is Pearl Harbor, Frank Germain here. A new phase of the liberation of the Philippine Islands has begun. American planes attack Japanese-occupied Manila, sinking 30 ships and destroying or damaging an incredible 440 airplanes. Admiral William Halsey's Third Fleet struck hard and often, as the Battle of the Philippines is shaping up to be the most decisive battle of the Pacific War. Recognizing that the entire Japanese Southern Empire was in peril, Tokyo announced that General Tomoyuki Yamashita has returned to the command of Jap forces on the Philippines. General Yamashita led the forces that captured Singapore, Bataan, and Corregidor in 1942. The other liberation front at Leyte continues. 350 miles south of Manila, General Douglas MacArthur's invasion force joined battle with four Japanese divisions in what may prove to be the final struggle for the central Philippine island. At Pearl, this is Frank Tremaine, calling Europe, come in France.
Hello, this is France. Max Jordan reporting along the front lines in eastern France. Lieutenant General George S. Patton's Third Army has opened a new offensive in France. Patton's new attack between Metz and Nancy in eastern France advanced in the first hours, liberating four villages and crossing the Say River. Patton sent elements of the 12th Corps under Major General Mantinetti over the breach at 6 a.m. after an hour-long barrage using captured German artillery. The doughboys slogged ahead over a virtual quagmire turned up by day-long rain. Leaden skies threatened to rob the troops of air support, but the attack in such conditions apparently caught the Germans by surprise. This breaks a week-long lull in fighting, a lull which is said to not set well with the aggressive blood and guts Patton. In France, this is Max Jordan.
In other war news, Norwegian regulars are said to be fighting alongside the Red Army in the fight to free Norway. Although the Western offensive in Holland is ground to a halt because of the wet weather, Field Marshal Sir Bernard Montgomery says the month-long offensive has netted 40,000 German prisoners and has gained 40 miles. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Lou. Car troubles loom up, you know, in the fourth war winter. I do hate to see winter come when it comes to the car. But to our advantage, Standard Oil Service says, today, see your Standard Oil dealer. What for? Well, you know the drill. The 10-star tune-up. Motor oil changed to winter grade. Transmission and differential lubricant changed to winter grade. Car completely lubricated. Air cleaner cleaned. Oil filter changed. Battery inspected. Spark plugs serviced. Tires inspected. And so it goes on and on and on. That's the way Standard Service is. They go on and on and on. Today, see your Standard Oil dealer for better car care. Lou?
Republican Congressman Al Volkanovski of Mercer was reelected to a second term by a 2-1 margin. He defeated Democratic Attorney Elizabeth Hawks of Washburn and Progressive candidate Harry Van Gilder of Ashland. Republican Governor Walter Goodland was returned to office. The 81-year-old governor was elected over former Milwaukee Mayor Daniel Holm. Republican U.S. Senator Alexander Wiley was also reelected. Our Capitol reporter, John Powell, has more on this near Republican sweep.
This election not only saw Republican victories from Thomas Dewey on down, but progressive defeats. The party started at the turn of the century by fighting Bob La Follette is sputtering 44 years later. There's even talk his namesake son is unsure of running again in 46. Governor Goodland ran using his own money. He declined several large offers, but he's touchy about financing his campaign. He says he'll pay his own expenses. and no other election have voter mailboxes been stuffed with such a volume and variety of campaign messages. Direct mail, as a political device, appears to be here to stay. Politicians are united in one thing. The next election will be dominated by returning soldiers running for office. One last note. As governor, Walter Goodland automatically gets free passes to Badger football games, but he refuses and pays for every ticket he gets. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
In Duluth voting, Congressman William Pittenger was reelected to a seventh term. Duluth Judge C.R. Magny led in the race for the state Supreme Court. In Wisconsin, Republican Arthur Lindroot and progressive Frank Sheehan won elections to the state assembly. This is Sheehan's first term. He succeeds William Foley, who's in the service. A race so close it was decided only minutes ago can now be reported. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has this just in from the county clerk's office.
The most watched race in Douglas County is over, Lou, barring a recount. District Attorney Thomas Foley, the county DA since 1934, has been defeated by U.S. Navy Lieutenant Junior Grade Andy Borg. Borg, running as a Republican, held a narrow 99-vote lead with 17,000 ballots cast, with only the town of Hawthorne to report. Moments ago, Hawthorne residents cast 125 votes for Lieutenant Borg and 109 for Mr. Foley. Mr. Foley was the only incumbent not reelected. Republican Sheriff Elton Eckroth defeated Claude Tourville and progressive former Sheriff Frank Carlson. Progressive County Clerk Stephen Gray was reelected. He's been in office since 1936, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. Ashland voters reelected State Senator Ernest Hedden, Assemblyman John Chappell, and Sheriff Frank Harris. They also approved a referendum requiring all city school board members to be elected. In Bayfield, County Republican Samuel Squires was elected to the State Assembly. All county seats were unopposed. And finally, Jack, hats off to the gang at the city clerk's office for their hard work election day. The trouble is, Clerk Emmett McKegg says that his stenographer, Cecile Helsel, was so busy with voter registration that she forgot to vote.
Well, that just means that she's mad at her boss.
Now, what makes you say that?
Old Emmett is up for re-election, and she didn't vote for him. So she's mad at her boss.
I should just finish my newscast and leave the studio.
It'd be safer. Lou Martin, good listeners, the newsman who always takes the bait, even when he's not fishing. Let's look at our forecast for this Wednesday, November 8th, 1944. Strong winds diminishing tonight with a low of 24 degrees. Tomorrow, under partly sunny skies, it should get up to 45 degrees. Let's play one by request from Mr. Roosevelt.
Like I said, I should just leave the studio and save the aggravation.
Requested by Mr. Clarence Roosevelt, here's the Leonard J. Orchestra with Johnny Marvin singing Happy Days Are Here Again on the Martin and McKenna Show.
So long, sad time. So long, bad time. We are rid of you at last. Cloudy gay times, cloudy gray times, you are now a thing of the past. 'Cause happy days are here again, the skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again, happy days are here again. All together, shout it now. There's no one who can doubt it now. So let's tell the world about it now. Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles are gone. There'll be no more from now on. Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
The Leonard J. Orchestra with Johnny Marvin by request from Mr. Roosevelt on station KUWS. Well, folks, rubbers are not rationed, even though rubber is rationed. You can get men's rubbers to protect your shoes this winter at Superior Clothing Company.
Oh, take it from me, KUWS engineer in charge, Joe Gordonio. I won't leave home without my rubbers. Well, you never know what you're going to get into here at the radio station. Well, I might find myself, well, knee-deep in snow at the transmitter site. But I'll be okay with my rubbers.
Well, like Joe says, Superior Clothing has men's dress rubbers for $1.49, men's heavy-duty four-buckle rubbers for $3.75, and leather-top lumberman's rubbers for just $6.
So I might be ankle-deep in disgusting filth by sloppy announcers who chew gum and discard said gum on the main studio floor, but I'm protected by my rubbers. I wear them everywhere. Even at home.
So protect your feet with rubbers at Superior Clothing Company in Superior. And on with the music, friends. This is brand new from the 1944 hit parade, Earl Hines and his orchestra, with vocals by Madeline Green and the Three Varieties. This is It Had to Be You on the Martin and McKenna Show.
It had to be you. To be you, I wandered around and finally found the somebody who would make me be true, would make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen, might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill, with all your faults, dear, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful, you just had to be you.
Orchestra with Madeline Green, and It Had to Be You on station KUWS.
Since when is Joe doing commercial endorsements?
Well, I'll tell you, the owner of Superior Clothing figured if the guy really wears his rubbers around the house, then who better to be a pitchman for his rubbers? Well, anyway, we've got Mr. Fred Smith in for a few words of thanks to the voters of the 2nd Assembly District. Good evening, Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Sir Jack. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your support, people. Even though I finished so far behind in my losing race, I thank you. Yes, you. Because I can just about count on my fingers and toes the number of people who voted for me. I worked hard in this race. And for what? For this humiliation? For this public drubbing? So, yeah, thanks a whole hearty, hard lot, people. You won't have Fred Smith to kick around anymore. paid for by the Fred Smith for Assembly Committee, Moss Smith Treasurer.
That was, interesting. Boy, we've got advice for the Lovelorn coming up, friends. So stay tuned. You never know what's next on the Martin and McKenna Show.
That's becoming appallingly true.
Here's Glenn Miller and his orchestra. Pennsylvania, 6-5,000 on the Martin and McKenna Show. Glenn Miller and his orchestra and Pennsylvania 6-5,000 on station KUWS. Now let me introduce Miss Ruthie and her advice for the Lovelorn. Hiya, Ruthie.
Oh, I like Miss Ruthie. Well, she's my favorite.
Hi, Miss Ruthie.
Hello, boys. You both know that this is a few minutes with Miss Ruthie and the girls. Of course, you can always pretend you're one of the gals.
I don't think so.
No, there's no making a rooster out of a hen, Miss Ruthie.
Ladies, a friend of mine commented to me the other day that she was tired of hearing her friends complain about their husbands and boyfriends being away at war, and all the while they were losing what could be a wonderful time with their husbands and boyfriends.
That's shocking, Miss Ruthie.
And depressing, too.
For whatever for.
Married women having boyfriends, too?
And I'm Mr. Eligible Bachelor Number One, and I can't get a date.
For goodness sakes. I mean, of course, married women and single women with husbands and boyfriends, respectively.
That is more respectively.
I never get respect from women.
And you always wear the nicest rubbers.
Attractive footwear is important for that chick look.
I'll not get drawn into conversation about rubbers. Anyway, ladies, the best solution is to not grow old waiting for your man to return home, but to take care of yourself. That's right. With him gone, you've got more time for yourself. So my friend decided to make sure she looked better than when her man left. She dieted and exercised. but she also read and exercised her mind.
If Jack reads, he pulls a muscle in his brain.
Can't overexert the old noggin, you know.
It is surprising you two have trouble getting dates. My friend also experimented with makeup and different hairdos. She even tried on more sophisticated clothes.
I wear a daring low-cut rubber. Now that shows a little ankle.
Honestly. Anyway, girls, my friend says she feels great. It's a constructive way to spend her time while her man is away. And it'll mean a better time all around when he gets back.
Hubba, hubba. Thanks, Ruthie. Stick around. I think Joe has some questions right after we hear this great number from Derbingo, Bing Crosby, and his hit from the movie Going My Way and Swinging on a Star on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. New kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few.
So you see, it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Bing Crosby on this year's 1944 Hit Parade and Swinging on a Star with the John Scott Trotter Orchestra on station KUWS.
So, Miss Ruthie, I have this friend, I'll call him Lou.
I wish you wouldn't.
Well, Lou has trouble approaching women to, you know, pop the big question. He doesn't know how to ask a girl out. Lou turns to jelly. His knees go weak. His red hair turns pink.
Does not, and he's not talking about me.
He's, well, otherwise a talented, charming, sharp-dressing guy with a good job as an engineer.
Aha!
Engineer on a train, of course.
Who happens to wear chic rubbers?
Well, as a matter of fact, he does. Men like him, cats like him, kids like him, but he can't get a date. Now, what can I tell my friend?
Tell him to take regular showers.
He takes regular showers. Every Saturday, whether he needs it or not.
I suppose he changes his clothes regularly, too?
Saturday's wash day for both him and his clothes.
Also, he should use mouthwash and quit being so shy. Women don't like men too meek. It may be cute at first, but it can get tiring if the woman has to be assertive all the time.
Clean claws, clean mouth, assertive. I'll do it.
Aha!
I mean, I'll advise my friend to do it. And one more aha out of you, and you'll knock us all over with that coffee breath of yours.
Boy, you never do know what's coming up on this show. Stay tuned, folks. Up next is Time to Smile. Nelson Eddy and Mr. District Attorney. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. the good Lord willing, and Lou's coffee breath doesn't knock us out.
There's nothing wrong with my breath.
For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances by Duke Skorich, John Munson, Ray Paulson, Don Hansen. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.